We're going to be in Matthew chapter 4, so if you'll find that in your Bibles with me and stand, we'll read our text for tonight. For those of you who were here this morning, you recognize that we're on part 3 of our 4-part series in this section of Matthew chapter 4, the place where Jesus was tempted of the devil. And this morning in Sunday school, we started our series called Understanding the Temptation of Satan. And so with that, we're again on our third section in that study. If you're interested, perhaps you didn't hear the first two and you're interested in those, I encourage you to go back and listen to those that are already up online. And so you can do that at your convenience. Let's look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written,'" now the devil's quoting the Bible, "'He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' Jesus said unto him, 'It is written again.'" Application of the scripture. What did Jesus do? Quote the scripture. "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And I love these next words. "Then the devil leaveth him." Isn't that what you look forward to? Just when the devil leaves. You know, when the devil leaves, you know what replaces that presence? It's peace, isn't it? Amen. It's just peace. Amen. The peace of God. And the Bible says, "Behold, the angels came and ministered unto him." So, our message tonight, if we give the subtitle or the title to the second temptation, it's simply this, as I say it, and of course there's others who've done this study before as well, but we'll call it this: God's will, my way. That's the second temptation. God's will, my way. Father, we pray your blessings on the message tonight. Lord, we need to hear from you. We know that there's effort that's gone into the studies, and there's effort that's went into the studies of those that we study. It's an ironic thing as we look into the Word of God and we try to understand it. But in the end, Lord, what we need is for you to illuminate the Scripture in our hearts. We need you to transform us. There's no articulate word or full understanding or well-versed phrase. God, it's just you. We just need you. So I pray for your touch tonight. I pray for your power and strength. I pray for wisdom. I pray for encouragement. I pray that you'd cast the devil from this place. I pray you'd bind him and keep him from our presence, Lord. I pray that you'd remove distractions. I pray that you would empower us to overcome temptation, as we'll all face it. And we'll give you glory for what you do. And then, Lord, we'll continue to give you glory because how you've equipped us today will change. If we apply it, God, it'll transform our lives this week and in the weeks to come as we learn how to overcome, or rather stand in the midst of temptations for you. And so we pray your glory in that. We love you and we thank you for Jesus. We pray for your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. This morning in Sunday school, part one of our message series, Understanding the Temptations of Satan, the first lesson was the preparation, and certainly we need to be prepared. We'll say a few more things about that in just a minute as we review. Our message we talked about, the message we delivered this morning, the second part to our series, the first temptation, we titled it this, Our Will Instead of the Father's Will. Let me say that again. Our will instead of the Father's will. And let's remember, Satan does attack us. He does come against us. He seeks to tempt us. The scripture says in the epistle of Peter that he is like a roaring lion. The imagery ought to tell us that he's ferocious and he's determined and he's looking for the next prey and feast. And that's you, that's us, that's God's people. He seeks to destroy us like a roaring lion, just lurking and waiting for just the right moment to come against God's people. In Sunday school, we answered some of the biggest questions that people generally have about Satan. Satan is the devil. He is Lucifer. He's an angel created by God. He lifted himself up in pride, according to Isaiah 14, and fell. Hell and the lake of fire are real places, and they were created for the devil and the demons. However, let me say that if you're lost, you will be cast there one day. And so there's urgency in the gospel, isn't there? To be tempted is to be drawn away. And so like we said just a little while ago, the devil seeks to tempt us. The idea there is to be drawn away. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. And so he seeks to draw us away from God. And he does that by tempting us with well-crafted lies. That's where the spiritual battlefield is. The conflict that we face is in our minds. It's in our heart. The stronghold that the devil seeks to cause us to be held by is in our minds. It's in our imaginations, as it says in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. The high places, our imaginations, and the high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. It's those things that come into our lives and come into our minds that exalt themselves against what God has declared to be true. And we allow ourselves to embrace those things and to be captivated by those things, and so that they become strongholds to us. And that happens to the lost, so that lost people wonder about the truths of God and wonder about the reality of God and His Word, so that the world and its system and the philosophies of this world become a stronghold in people's lives. Well, can I really believe God's Word when evolution is something that in the minds of the world is something that's true and it's embraced by the world and it's taught as truth? And so because of that, people come to church and hear the Word of God, and we'll be doing our creation conference, and that's an important topic. Why? Because the world teaches these things and people embrace these things, and so in their lives and in their spirit they become strongholds, keeping them from turning to Christ. I mean, this is a real thing. This is spiritual conflict. Man, we need to pray for people. We need to pray that God will work in people's lives and that God will begin to reveal the truth in the hearts of people, so they'll see beyond what the world has said and the lies that has been presented to them by this world, and they'll see their need of the Savior and come to Him before it's too late. If you're saved, then the devil seeks to cause you to stumble. The devil is real. Temptation is real. The conflict is in our minds. And so Jesus knew that Satan was coming with temptation, and so he prepared himself. He was equipped, and we need to be equipped with the same. We need to be equipped in the same manner, understanding that temptations are going to come. Look at verse number one. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. And we've said before, and we'll say again, that this is a key part of it, that we are led of the Spirit, that we're not walking in the whims of our own feelings and emotions, but we're letting God lead us. Really, if we anchor ourselves right there, we'll avoid temptation, won't we? Anchor ourselves to the Spirit and His leadership in our life. Look at verse number 2. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. When the tempter came to him. So the temptation was coming. Jesus prepared himself. The Bible says he fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights. And let me say that we need to prepare ourselves too. We said that in Sunday school this morning. But we need to also prepare ourselves for the temptations that will come our way. Listen, this is a real thing. Spiritual conflict is a real thing. We need to prepare ourselves by taking our devotional life seriously. We need to make it a priority that we would read our Bibles every day, that we would meditate on the Scripture every day, that we would memorize Scripture, that we would rehearse Scriptures throughout the day. And as we face things, that we would have Scripture in our heart. And so Jesus equipped himself. And then the Bible says, after he was in hunger, verse 2, and then in verse 3, that's when the tempter came. Meaning that the devil will come at our time of our greatest vulnerability. Right. Jesus hadn't eaten, he was hungry, and that's when Satan came. What that means to you and I is that Satan knows when to hit us. He knows when to come at us when we're most vulnerable. And so he waits for just the right moment, and that's the moment of our greatest vulnerability. And then that's when he comes. This morning, the first temptation, as we said just a little bit ago, our will instead of the Father's will. That's the first temptation. Our will instead of the Father's will. Satan came to Jesus with his tactics. Oh, you're hungry. God must have failed you along the way. Can you really trust God? And that was the nature of his temptation. Look at verse number 3. The tempter came to him and said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread." God's not going to follow through. Listen, you're starving and you have the ability. You just need to take care of yourself. And so the struggle was, do I trust that God's going to make provision? Or do I just step out of the bounds of what God can and will do if I live in faith and just handle this myself? And that was the temptation. Our will instead of God's will. And we still struggle with that. Amen. Why? Because God's will requires that we have faith. Amen. And listen, faith is not always an easy thing to live by or to live in. We sing that song, Living by Faith. It's not always easy to do that. We have to learn to trust the Father. And so Jesus said, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, what's he saying there? Well, really the root of that is faith. That we would believe that God is faithful. We would believe God's word. We would believe that God is faithful to his word. And we can trust his word. And we can trust his character. And so what we do when we have that kind of faith and the temptation comes our way, instead of trusting our will and going our way, despite what God is wanting to do in through us and in us and allowing him to lead our lives, we must learn to yield ourselves to God's will and to become his servant. The key word there is to yield. There's a great verse in Psalm 119. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Meaning, you know, if we're going to get where we're going to get, then we're going to let God's word light the way. We'll let him light our feet, meaning our next step, and our path, which means where we're heading and the destination, the direction that we're going. God's word is the guide. He's the guide. And so we have faith in that. Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done," in Luke 22. Remember when he said that? But the devil's relentless, isn't he? One writer said this, "In the Christian warfare, there is no release." You should embrace that because it's true. Let me say it again. In the Christian warfare, there is no release. Sometimes people grow worried because they think they should reach a stage when they're beyond temptation, a stage at which the power of the tempter is forever broken. Jesus never reached that stage. From the beginning to the end of the day, he had to fight his own battle against temptation. That is why he can help us to fight ours. And it reminds us of some great scripture, doesn't it? In Hebrews, it says this, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." In 1 Corinthians 10, it says this, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." Don't you love that phrase? "God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." So God in that scripture in 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, he will make a way to escape. In other words, there's a way of victory. There's a way of victory. The devil is relentless, but there's a way to go through a temptation. There's a way to bear temptation and to win in the temptation. He's the one who shows us the victory. He's the only one who can give us the victory. Amen. He shows us, and in him we have the victory. We can have the victory. Tonight, our second temptation is this: God's will, my way. God's will, my way. We can trust the promises of God. Now, if we just stop right there, that's a blessing, isn't it? We can trust the promises of God. Like that song, "Standing on the Promises." You know, we can trust His promises. And you've heard messages about that probably for years, most of your life. But we should never presume on God. We can trust the promises of God, but we should never presume on God. Meaning this, Paul understood this. Listen to what he said. "Where sin abounded, what did much more abound?" He said, grace. Listen to what he said next. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:20 and 21. But you know what he said in the first verse of chapter 6? "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid." So it's one thing to understand the promises of God, to understand how God's grace operates in our lives. It's something entirely different to presume on God's grace. It reminds us of this great verse, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins." Psalm 19:13. So the first temptation is, listen, this is good. The first temptation was my will instead of God's will. The second temptation is God's will, my way. So it's almost like we're just, instead of my will, instead of God's will, now it's God's will. So that's good, right? Wait, I mean, it's still not good. Because now we're attempting to do God's will, but to do it our way. Yeah. So the devil comes right back at Jesus. There's no time for rest. Look at verse number 5. "When the devil taketh him," this is the second temptation, "the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone." So Satan took Christ up to the pinnacle of the temple. This is a very high point, actually more than 400 feet. And note this, that rabbinic tradition says that the true Messiah would cast himself from the pinnacle and fly. And I'm not saying the scripture says that, but rabbinic tradition says that. Satan then says, "Cast yourself down." You know, it's interesting, after Satan said, "Cast yourself down," he then quoted a scripture. Of course, he misapplied it. But in Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12, is the reference that Satan referenced here. So in other words, God's made it clear in the scripture that he's going to protect you. Listen to this. God's made it clear in the scripture he's going to protect you. God's going to take care of you. Just jump. I mean, the Bible says he won't let your foot dash against the stone. Don't you trust God? Just cast yourself down. The Bible says, You know, it's like there's a kind of pressure there. And the temptation coming from Satan misapplying the Scriptures. It was to say, do God's will, but do it your way. And let me say it like this. Do God's will, do it your way, but catch this. Do it in your timing. Trust your timing on this. Cast yourself into that situation. God will protect you. I mean, He'll forgive you. Doesn't the Bible say that? He'll forgive you. He'll never leave you, you know? Amen. He'll take care of everything. Just cast yourself into it. That's the sin of presumption, isn't it? Presuming on God. So it's like we create the peril and then we just throw ourselves into it and say, here we go, God, you catch me. Sometimes people press down the road of temptation because they're impatient, ambitious, like firecrackers. And in that impatience, they press on. But listen to this, without fully seeking God about it. I mean, get involved, you know. Move forward. Hey, just go for it. Jump into it. I mean, it'll be all right. God will take care of you. Makes sense in this situation for you to pursue that job. Just go into it. Just go for it. I mean, hey, the door opened. It must be God. Just jump into it. It's amazing how that happens, isn't it? It's along the way and doors open up and every single door that opens up, it's like we feel like God is opening up that door. But in reality, along the way, there's a lot of things that opens up and we're tempted to cast ourselves into it under the disguise of, you know, following God's will. But ultimately, casting ourselves into it is premature. Doing what we would maybe declare is God's will, but doing it our way. This happens a lot with teenagers. And I'm not just saying that like this is a struggle teenagers only have, but I mean, this happens a lot with teenagers that relates to relationships. I mean, teenagers and young adults as well cast themselves into these relationships. And by the way, we live in a society where this is just like accepted as as a normal thing. Just one relationship and another relationship and all these relationships. You know, and so this temptation comes along the way to cast ourselves into these relationships. And sometimes there is a kind of subtle justification in our hearts to say, well, you know, God wants me to be happy. I mean, God wants me to be, you know, joyful, and that person makes me joyful. And so I'm just going to cast myself into that. And so we're pursuing and running after things. And we pursue these things without patience and without going to God for His guidance. And then we just mask the whole thing with putting a kind of a stamp on there saying, well, God must be in this because, you know, it just feels so right. You know. And how many teenagers along the way, and all the years that I've worked with both teenagers and then adults, young adults, and not just young adults, but families that have allowed this kind of thinking to destroy their lives. Amen. And I wish that I could, you know, I wish I could help teenagers to, especially teenagers, to learn how to avoid this temptation, to have strength against it. You know, because, you know, along the way, the devil's going to make sure that the temptation's going to be there. Amen. To do God's will, but do it your way. You know, usually it's related to not waiting on God. Sometimes it's not that God doesn't want you to have it, but He just doesn't want you to have it now. And we just can't wait. We want to have it. And we, you know, our feelings are such powerful influences in our life. In fact, you know the verse. Jeremiah taught us that there's nothing more deceptive than your feelings. You know, it'll It'll cause you to believe that something is right when God has made it clear that it isn't. Yeah. And so we become blinded by our feelings. Happens with financial investments too, doesn't it? We get in over our head. We just had that feeling. We need this, you know. We just need this. I like to do this when I want something really bad. Usually, it's like a suit jacket or shoes, which is so carnal and silly. And I see the shoes and I want them. Like, I really feel like I need to get these shoes. You know, I can talk myself into it. You know how we can do. I mean, I have like 18 pairs of shoes, but I mean, you know, you got to have backups to your backups. And my backups to my backups, you know, they're kind of getting not so good. So, this is put on the receipts how much money you saved. And it's real big. And the money you spent, that's real small. You have to have a magnifying glass to see it, you know. Walk away. Just walk away from that. Give it a couple of days. Give it a couple of weeks maybe before we make purchases like that. And you know what happens is all the feelings kind of subside and all the temptation sort of goes away. And then a couple of weeks later, you might be a little more reasonable and say something like this. You know, I didn't need that as much as it felt like I needed it in that moment. That's the temptation. But we cast ourselves into these things. We get ourselves in real messes. We move here and there and looking for some kind of a happiness or looking for some kind of like one job to the other job and one looking for one promotion to another promotion in another situation and just trying to find something that we can be satisfied with or one relationship to another relationship or some financial investment. And we do this and then we find that in time, because we're not letting God lead our lives, that our situation deteriorates. And then that's when we pause and we pray something like this: God, okay, it's time for you to get me out of this. Well, hang on a second. I feel like we're moving into things, following temptations, and then presuming on God that He's going to come along and just bail us out of these things. Look at verse number 7. Look what Jesus said in response. Jesus said unto him, "It is written again." I love that. "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." I love that He said, "It is written again." Two things. Number one, Jesus is answering Satan's misapplication of the scripture. And to do that, He emphasizes to you and I, we need to understand the critical importance of preparing for these spiritual conflicts by investing in our devotion to God. Faster than before I went to Bible college, which, by the way, is part of the process, right? So when we go, it's kind of like being a teen. When you become a teenager, you know everything. The same thing happens at Bible college. We go to Bible college, and then by the time we get out, we realize, I don't know anything. But by the way, that's where we need to be. When I went to Bible school, I want to teach you how to study the Bible, and I'd say that if there's a key emphasis in learning how to be a pastor, it's making sure we get our studies right. But along the way, in Bible college, if there's one emphasis that supersedes any other emphasis at Bible college, and anybody who's been there, you'd probably agree with me about this, it's just one thing. And from year one until year four, by the time you graduate from Bible college, you better learn this. And you know what it is? How to have a consistent devotional life with God. So that it's real. So that you'll learn how to have a walk with God. So that you're not going through the motions and just reading your verse for the day and forgetting about it and not praying and not seeking Him, but having a walk with God. Why do we need that? This is a critical part of us understanding how to deal with the temptations of the devil. Jesus answered these temptations with Scripture. And He knew the Scripture. It's Jesus, you know. But this is an example for you and I. And He fasted and prayed for 40 days. Did He need to do that? He's the Son of God. It's an example to you and I to understand that what we need is a devotional life with God if we're going to overcome and have victory in the temptations that we face. And listen, I suppose maybe we could go in reverse just a half step and say this. There probably ought to be something in you that wants to overcome temptation. So that the things that you're justifying in your mind is okay because it makes you happy, but yet you're not seeking God and you're not obeying approval from God about these things. You're just justifying it in your own mind and presuming on God that what we need this evening is a desire to overcome these temptations. It has to start there. If you have no desire, then you could be asleep on the pew right now because you're not getting much out of this. You have to. It has to be in there that you want it. And then the next step is to say, okay, well, I'm going to go home and I'm going to make an emphasis. I'm going to make an absolute, cannot neglect emphasis on my devotional life. And I went into Joe Killian's house and a 17-year-old was sitting at his table reading his Bible. And I walked into his house, I knocked on his glass door, and he said, come in, yelled at me from the kitchen. Don't you love that when people yell at you just to come in anyway? So I just walked in, and he's in there sitting at his table, 17, parents nowhere to be found, and he was reading his Bible. And I walked in, and I was just a little surprised by that. I'd never done that. I mean, I read my Bible, but not because I wanted to. I walked in, he said, hey, come here. And I walked over, he says, oh man, you got to see this. And he was opened up to a scripture. I couldn't tell you where it is. I have no idea what he told me. But you know what? I'll never forget how excited he was about it. Amen. Look what I read in the Bible. Isn't this amazing? That had an impact on me. In fact, that was one of the key transitions in my life when God began to break my heart and help me to see surrender in my call to become a pastor. It was already working in me. But you know what we need? We need to have a real desire in us to have a devotional life with God so that the Word of God is written on the table of our heart. When the temptation comes, not only do we have a desire to overcome temptation, but we're equipped with the tools and the weapons that we need to overcome and to fight these battles. It comes from the Word of God. It comes from a devotional life. And if you don't have that, then you're not going to be equipped. There's no other way. So Jesus said, or the Scripture says, it is written again. This emphasis is a critical importance in our lives. Amen. Christ responded to Satan's temptation by quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. That's where his reference was. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That lesson from God in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it's amazing. I wish we could go to there and just do a whole message from that section. It's amazing. Israel just before they're going into the promised land, and God is giving them, in fact, the word Deuteronomy means second law. They'd already received the first law. Now they're receiving the second law just before they go into the land. It's kind of like a refresher, like a reminder. How about this word? It's like a revival of our commitment and our desire and our love for God. And in that commitment in chapter 6, Moses taught the children of Israel just before they enter into the promised land. Oh, and by the way, when you get there, don't murmur. But trust Him. When you get there, don't complain. I mean, listen, I hear complaining every day. Every time we get in the car and we're like, all right, where are we going to go eating? You know, I'm like, well, let's go to this place. At least three are going to complain about it. And there's one in my car, it almost doesn't matter what you say, we're going to hear complaining. God says, don't complain. Amen. Don't murmur. That's a dad that said that with a lot of kids. Anyway, he knows. So God says, don't complain, don't murmur. But here's the point. When you're along the way and God is leading you along the way, what we ought to learn to do, God is teaching His people, is to trust God. God's going to make provision. God's going to take care of you. So we trust him and we're patient and we allow him to lead and we don't murmur and we don't complain. Why? Because what murmuring and complaining against God ultimately is tempting the Lord. And that's what he's saying here. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So the answer to that is to trust him, to wait on him. Just like that song we sang tonight, wait on God. Some people at times get in trouble because they try to do God's will, but then they try to do it their way and catch this in their time. And sometimes people tell themselves that something's okay because it makes them happy. You better write this down in the recesses of your emotional tendency. So when this happens, you'll remember it. So there are times when we'll convince ourselves something's perfectly okay because it makes us happy. There was a lady who came into my office. This was in Fall City, and she sat down, and I knew something wasn't right just because the manner in which she came in to receive counsel. And I just kind of had that feeling before the conversation started. And she began to explain that this affair that she was in was perfectly okay because how happy it was making her and how disturbed her marriage relationship was. And then she said this. She said, God is leading me to get a divorce from my husband. And she said it with confidence. God is leading me to do this. And so I said this, Brother Larry, here's what I said. I wasn't mad about it, but I had a genuine question. I said, so God, you're telling me that God... How did I say it? I said it like this. Will God lead you to do something that the Word of God says is wrong? That's what I said. Will God lead you to do something that the Word of God says is wrong? And she thought about that for a minute. And then she said, that's a good question. And then that was the last we talked about it. Yeah, that was a good question. The answer is no. God won't lead you to do something that the Word of God is clear about. But that's what our feelings do. Have you heard this phrase, think before you speak? Sometimes we get ourselves into trouble because we speak before we think. Sometimes we get ourselves on the wrong road because we decide before we ask God. We cast ourselves into situations without His leading. His will, our way, our timing. I was reminded of this in a story in the Old Testament. David's son, his name was Amnon. Remember that story? And Amnon had a friend, Jonadab, and he was lusting after Tamar. And he received counsel from his friend to pursue Tamar. And what he could have done is he could have waited and he could have been patient and he could have done it the right way and it would have been right and it would have been blessed, but he didn't do that. And in his impatience, he sought it and he manipulated and he took advantage of Tamar and ultimately destroyed her because of that. Amnon represents the potential of sin that's within each and every one of us. God's will, my way, and my time. Jonadab represents the tempter himself. He comes along and whispers in our ears, cast yourself into this. This is going to make you happy. And God wants you to be happy. God will be okay with this. And, you know, it's going to work out. Don't ask for permission. Ask for forgiveness. And just go into it. Just pursue it. It's going to be fine. And those are temptations that we allow ourselves to be lured into, and then we'll look back and think, man, that wasn't good. And that was us falling into temptations, the temptation of God's will, but our way. What we need tonight is to pull ourselves back. We need to pull ourselves to a place where we'll be willing to wait on God. We need to say something like this: God, I want your will to be done, but I want it to be done your way. Not your will my way, but your will your way. That's what we need tonight. And so it might be tonight that you have found yourself, you know, being deceived and deceiving yourself, pursuing lust and pursuing temptation, and telling yourself, convincing yourself it'll be okay, or presuming on God. And what we need is to be equipped with the strength to overcome that. How do we do that? Patience. So we ask God for His will, and then we wait on God, and we let Him lead us, and we seek Him for direction. We go to Him for the guidance, and we move in obedience and in peace. The peace of God, it's an amazing thing that God does in us, isn't it? Amen. And He'll take that peace away, won't He? And He uses that to help us to stay on the right path. Just wants to take that away and just drive yourself and cast yourself into the things that you want. Or maybe even telling yourself it's okay. God's okay with this. But you'll find when you get to the other side that it just led you to destruction. And I would say tonight that some of us, we might need to back off of some decisions that we're in the midst of. And I'm not saying that God isn't going to lead you into this, but we need to back off. And we just need to make sure that what we're doing is actually what God wants us to do, or that we're doing it in His time. Amen. So before we just pursue this direction, this decision, this big change, this investment, whatever it is, that we would back up and say, you know what, Lord, I have this temptation. And if I let this temptation drive me, I'm going to cast myself into this because it feels like it's the right thing. And the door is open and maybe it's you. But instead of doing that, let's just back up and ask God for His will and ask Him to guide us to the right time to pursue things. So whether it's a job or in a financial investment, let me encourage you about that. Let me say one more thing to our young people. Let me encourage you about something. There's one decision that you'll make in life, and this applies to all of us. It's the most important decision you'll ever make, isn't it? It's your salvation. Amen. And if you're lost tonight, the best decision that you could ever make and the best decision you'll ever make in your life is to turn your heart to Christ before it's too late. And how do you know if you need to be saved? When you hear the gospel and God works in your heart and He brings conviction, and you know. It's hard to explain to somebody how you know you need to be saved, but when you're under conviction, you know. Amen. And so then we make that decision. But you know, there's another decision that ranks up there. It may be one of the most important decisions you'll ever make. That the devil wants to bring temptation to you so that he might cause you. And so what our young people need tonight, at least is what God has for me. I don't want God's will my way. I want God's will. in the direction He wants you to go in the time that He wants you to do it. Let me encourage you. Encouragement. We trust you in that, and that we face temptation in there. I really feel like I was premature on that. But we can avoid those temptations if we seek you and ask for your guidance and direction, and we, and in that, Lord, we'll be patient and willing to wait for your time. And Lord, for those of us who have something, some decision that we're looking at, and we're just not sure about it, would you help us to have patience in that? And for young people tonight, we specifically talked about the area of temptation related to relationships. God, would you give them the courage to make a commitment in that area, to wait on you? And Lord, help us to make the commitment in our devotional life that we might be equipped and to have the strength from you and your word to be able to take these stands. We love you. We thank you for Jesus. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. God's worked in your heart. The altar's open for you.